The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
20 after. Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour, broadcasting tonight from Crave American Restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada. My guest tonight is Jason Talbot. He is the executive chef and general manager here at Crave American Fair, and you're going to love them. We have a great California wines tonight from Michael David Winery to share and pair, coming to us from Lodi, California. If you don't know where that is, I'll give you a hint a little bit later in the show. Being America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, we bring you great information about good wines and great food in each episode. Thanks for all your inquiring emails sent from your home country, literally from all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from France, from Baja California, from Japan, just about everywhere. Welcome. And our in-house special guest that has been invited tonight are both hungry and thirsty, and they can't wait because right now they're going to be pouring a little bit of Chardonnay for everybody to taste. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that our broadcast, we reflect on what we are all about, and that is, wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. So remembering on this show that we discover lots of information about taste and flavor, we also enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry, one of my favorite slogans. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. You might need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. Wines du Jour and Wine Radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Smart Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. We are also available on podcast, and we're free on iTunes. So listen to us also on Wonder Radio or Warp Radio. You're listening to Wines du Jour, and I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste. But before we go, I want to talk to somebody that I think is a pretty interesting guy. You probably all heard of the publication called Wine Spectator. I mean, most people subscribe to it, or especially if they're in part of wine. Well, we have the editor-at-large tonight as our guest. His name is Harvey Steinman, and he's going to explain to us what's going to happen here in Las Vegas on April 30. Harvey, are you with us? Harvey, are you there? Okay, I guess not.
The guest is not there yet?
Huh?
The guest is not there yet.
Okay. He hasn't called in like he was supposed to. Shame on him. That's okay. It's not a problem. First of all, Wine Spectator has been around for an awful long time, as I'm sure you know. And if you're into wine in any way, shape, or form, Wine Spectator will give you information you probably never heard of about wine, which is also a good thing. You know, that's one of the things I like about learning about wine, and that is that the more you learn, the more you understand you don't understand or you haven't learned. And that's a real interesting thing. You know, we all come to you every week from mostly from Las Vegas, Nevada. And I have to tell you that Las Vegas is a place that if you haven't been there for a while, you need to get your fanny over here and check out some of the things that are going on. The reason I'm saying that is that the current number of licensed gambling places in Las Vegas alone, believe it or not, is 1,701. That is an incredible, at least I think it is. The number of people moving to Las Vegas, it's a popular place, is about 60,000 people per month moving into Las Vegas. Now, that's a net gain. In other words, those that leave and those that come in, there's 60,000 more. Okay, we got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more, and hopefully we'll have Harvey with us. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few moments. Turn it up just a tad. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Crave. What a beautiful place. It's called Crave American Restaurant. And I have to tell you that Crave is not just in Summerlin, where we're sitting right now. This is an area in west of Las Vegas called downtown Summerlin. But Crave has several different restaurants around the country. They have one in Galleria, Minnesota. They have one in the Mall of America. That's the largest mall in the United States in Minnesota. Downtown Minneapolis, they have one. The Shops at West End in Minnesota. And then we start around different states. In Coral Gables, Florida, they have one. Bethesda, Maryland. Omaha, Nebraska. Cincinnati, Ohio. Austin, Texas. And, of course, last but certainly not least, Las Vegas, Nevada. What a great organization this is. The food is good, and you're going to find out when we have an opportunity to talk with the executive chef and general manager here in just a few minutes. His name is Jason Talbot. You're going to be very impressed with his knowledge and information. He started out as a chef here, and now he's not only the executive chef, but he also is the general manager. Why? He's got a great background, and he really knows what's going on, and people love working for him. He's the kind of guy that when he walks in the room, they bow down to him. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing and very true. In addition to that, I'm going to tell you that our wines this evening are coming to us from a winery in Lodi, California. That is the Michael David Winery. And all three of the wines that we're featuring this evening are actually from the Lodi area. If you're not familiar with Lodi, it sits just above Napa. It's easy to find. If you are in California and you're driving to Reno or to Lake Tahoe, you drive right through Lodi in order to get there. So it's not hard to find. But the weather there is actually very, very good for growing grapes, and a lot of people weren't aware of it. You know, Napa gets all the credit for especially red wines because of the heat. You know, there's a mountain range that runs north and south from north of Sonoma all the way down to the Bay Area in San Francisco. And on the west side of that mountain range is the county of Sonoma. We all have heard about wines from Sonoma. On the east side of that mountain range is Napa. That's Napa County. And we know about the wines from there. But just above that is Lodi. And there's other areas that we talk about on the show, Mariposa, all kinds of different places that grapes are grown to make wine. But Lodi is one that is kind of a sleeper, if you will. The neat part is Adam Mettler is the director of winemaking for the Michael David Winery, and he's been with the winery since 2005. The funny thing that I think is kind of funny is that we both graduated from the same college. The difference is his major was oenology and mine was not. Mine was music and business administration. But we went there at different times, but at the same college. Not too many people went to Fresno State that become somebody that you know about. So we have to talk about it when we get a chance to do that. So Adam Mettler is the director of winemaking for Michael David Winery. He is a fifth-generation Lodi grape grower. He and his wife have a beautiful Cabernet Sauvignon vineyard, and they sell those grapes, of course, to that winery that he works for, but they also sell grapes to other wineries. You know, a lot of people aren't aware that wineries do not necessarily own the grapes that they produce their wine with. There's a lot of farmers that want to grow great grapes, but they don't want to mess around learning how to do wine, so they grow the grapes, take them out of the field, and take them to the winery. And wineries make contracts with these growers that last generally anywhere from 5 to 10 years. So they agree on a price per ton, and then the winery and the winery owner or the winemaker goes over and checks the vineyard during the season to make sure that everything's going the way they'd like to see it happen. The pruning and all the things that take place that you probably don't know too much about it. That's okay. And when they say the grapes are great, they pull them out of the field, take them to the winery, and we end up with a good bottle of wine. Now, what happens so often and what people don't realize is, as an example, our first wine tonight is a Chardonnay. And everybody thinks, oh, Chardonnay, I like Chardonnay. Well, and then they taste one, they say, I don't care for this one. This doesn't taste like the other Chardonnay. And then they taste another, and they say, boy, this is better than the one I've been drinking, and so on and so forth. Well, I want you to know there are many different varieties of Chardonnay, just like there is any other grape varietal. That's just kind of an amazing thing. Some grapes, well, I'm talking about Chardonnay now, some of the Chardonnay grapes are really good for giving you that buttery feel, along with malolactic fermentation. Others are a little bit dry, and they're more food-oriented. And others have different species that goes along with it. And the funny part is, what typically happens is a vineyard that has Chardonnay, that's because that's what we're talking about, may have three or four different varieties of that Chardonnay planted in that vineyard. And so what happens after that is that when they pull it out of the field and take it to the winery, they keep track of what row they're bringing into the winery. And that the number of the row is when the winemaker knows that's the Chardonnay with the buttery taste, or that's the Chardonnay that's pretty dry, or whatever. And then so they keep them separate in the winery. They go through the process of squeezing the juice and doing all the normal things that they do, adding a little bit of the sugar that takes place in the grapes. They add a little bit of yeast to that. And what you must know that when you take yeast and sugar, you end up with alcohol. So the amount of alcohol is based on how much yeast and how much of the grape sugar that there is in the grapes. And that's when they decide to pull them out of the field. They look at the grapes not only by color, but by the sugar content, and that will determine pulling it out of the field. Now, years ago, the typical number or percentage, I should say, of sugar in a grape was up to 25%. And so the winemaker and the person that's running the vineyard, they keep checking the grapes on a daily basis when it gets around the time to pull them. And when it gets to 25, they holler, everybody panics, they run out and grab all the grapes and run to the winery with the grapes at around 25% Brix. Well, about 10 or 12 years ago, somebody decided that they weren't going to pull the grapes at 25%. They were going to let them get a little sweeter before they pull them off the vine. And here's what's happened. When they discovered that if they wait until it's around 32 to 35% sugar, they call it Brix in the wine business, but it's a sugar percentage, that when they make the wine, it's more drinkable now. You don't have to let it lay down for 6 months or a year or a year and a half. And boy, let me tell you, that's music to a winery owner's ears, knowing that he could sell his wine now and they could drink it, maybe buy some more. The cash flow is going to be much better. So the trend has been having that happen. Wait for the sugar content to get higher, and therefore the percentage of alcohol also gets higher. I'm not a big fan of that, but it used to be typically the percentage of alcohol would be around 11, 12, 12.5, 13, 13.5%. Now, it's around 14.5, 15, 15.5, even 16%. And that means it's drinkable, but unfortunately, being a chef, I have to tell you, the higher the alcohol percentage, the less it's palatable with food. It just doesn't pair as well. Too much alcohol is not good. So we like to see wines around 14.5 or maybe a little bit less than that. And that just means that they didn't wait to get the percentage up to 32 or 35. They might have pulled them out of the field at 29 or 30. And that's a little game that they're playing. And now the trend after about 15 years of doing it with the high percentage, they understand that the people are serious about wine and food, because my slogan is wine is food, that you make sure that it doesn't have too high an alcohol content. And the trend now overall, and we're talking about worldwide, not just in California or Oregon, is to lower that or take them out of the field when they're closer to 25 or 28 rather than 30, 35. Does that make sense to you? Okay, I hope so. The chef has done something really beautiful tonight with the Chardonnay, and I'm going to talk a little more specifically about the Chardonnay when we come back from our break. But the Chardonnay This particular Chardonnay is very tasty. All the grapes grow in the Lodi region, or the Appalachian, as we like to call it in the wine business. But the particular food that the chef has paired with it, listen to my description of it. It's called octopus carpaccio. Ooh-wee, nice stuff. This is a salad made of rocket. You know, that's a leaf, a vegetable. And frizzee, which is one of my favorite lettuces that you can buy in the store, tossed with a little honey citrus dressing, which is pretty good. And then the sliced octopus with a little wasabi aioli. Aioli is like a mayonnaise, so it's got wasabi-flavored mayonnaise is what we're talking about, but we call it wasabi aioli. A little bit of olive and Concise tomatoes, along with some garlic chips. To make it even more tasty. Nothing wrong with garlic chips. That just means great garlic has been fried, and that means that it's a little crispy, and you don't have that bad breath thing that you worry about sometimes from garlic when they're cooked like that, so it's not a bad thing. So octopus carpaccio along with this beautiful Chardonnay from Michael David Winery is good. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Michael David's Chardonnay. First of all, what's in the bottle is 100% Chardonnay, and it also says Lodi Appellation. And when it has a specific appellation mentioned on the label, then all the grapes have to come from that area. In this case, it's Lodi Appellation, which means that all the vineyards are within the Lodi region. So the AVA is Lodi. This has a beautiful apple, green apple taste to it. I think it's very nice. It's actually one of the few Chardonnays that is food friendly compared to a lot of the others. It has a lot of stone fruit. It has a little toasty oak to it. And I think it looks pretty good. This would be great for the summertime. This Michael David wine would be a great summer Chardonnay to have, to serve around your pool or if you're going to have a patio. Have guests over, and that sort of thing. That's the type of Chardonnay that I think tastes its best. Now, I want to mention a couple other things. The percentage of alcohol, because I talked about it a few moments ago, in this is 14.5. Just right on. I mean, it's not too much, and not necessarily too little, but right on. And this was 70% of this was barrel fermented. I'm just trying to give you a little bit of detail without getting too boring with it. The Lees was aged 100% in new French oak barrels, and you might know that there are three different kinds of barrels that winemakers around the world typically use. The most expensive and probably the most preferred is French oak, coming from France, obviously. The next one down the line of the three would be American oak. And American oak is in the middle part of the United States, in the northern section, all the way up into Canada. Those forests in that area is where this oak comes from. And the last, and certainly not least, is one that's becoming more and more popular, and that's from Hungary. We don't think about Hungary having forests, but they do. And the oak there is really good for making barrels and then storing wine and aging it. So that's a good thing. Also, this has a real crisp taste to it, this Chardonnay, or at least I think it does. And so I happen to like this particular one. You must know that I'm not a real big fan of Chardonnay for food. I'd rather, if I had my choice, 9 times out of 10, I would choose a Sauvignon Blanc rather than a Chardonnay to go with food. But tonight, this is really good, and this octopus is killer. Everybody liking the octopus? That's great, isn't it? Some people say octopus, and they back up about 3 feet. But if you'll just force yourself to at least taste it, you'll know darn good and well that it is a worthy thing to have. And you don't have to be Italian to like octopus. I don't know if you knew that or not. Okay, we got to go to a break. When we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about Michael David, and I think you'll enjoy that. And I don't know, I guess my guest tonight that was supposed to call in hasn't done that. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. There's a couple more things I want to talk about. You know, Las Vegas is known as a place to get married and or get divorced, and there's rules and regulations about how many months you have to be here and all that sort of thing. I just happen to have a statistic that I want to share with you. And that is the average number of Las Vegas weddings per day is 315. Now, also, I just happen to know the cost of a marriage license in Las Vegas is $35. On the other hand, the average cost of filing for divorce in Nevada is $450. So it's cheaper to get married than it is divorced. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but that's the way it is. Okay, enough of that sort of thing. Let's get down to what I think is a very, very important thing, and that is the restaurant that we're sitting in right now is Crave American Restaurant. And as I mentioned to you a little earlier, Jason Talbot is the executive chef general manager here, and he's able now to come over and talk with us. So first of all, thank you very much, Jason, for your hospitality. We love this place. Your food is great. Your menu is good. Your wine list is great. And the hospitality of all the food servers is, it excels, I have to tell you. But I want to tell us, want you to tell us, if you would, a little bit about how you got in the food business to start with.
Well, first I wanted to say thanks and good to see you again, Les.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to see you always. So, well, I've been doing this for, 25-some years.
And he's 29. That's pretty good.
Exactly. my heart's in the kitchen. I just recently stepped over in the front, but I just have a great passion for this industry and this restaurant. I honestly started off in this industry as a dishwasher, and I worked my way up and just kept on asking for more and wanting more, and so I eventually got to the level I'm at now. I have a little bit of schooling. I went to the Art Institute of Colorado, School of Culinary Arts, for a couple years. But that was after being in the industry for 15 years. So
it was easier to do that too, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So go ahead, finish. I didn't mean to stop you.
No, you're fine. So it's just a passion for the people, a passion for the food. It takes a special person, as Les knows, to be able to do this business day in and day out.
So. Boy, that's for doggone sure. You know, when we watch TV, a lot of people, you know, they love the so-called celebrity chefs. And they think, boy, what a great life that is. Well, I'm kind of like Jason. I've been doing this since I was 14. And I have to tell you, there's nothing glorious about it by comparison to what you see on TV. The chefs that you see on TV are there in front of the camera. But if you followed them around, you'd find out that they put in many, 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 many hours every day. And that's generally 7 days a week. Once in a while, if you're lucky, it's 6 days a week. And if you get to come out from behind the boards, as we like to call it, in the kitchen, and come out here and do the general manager thing, you can work a schedule to where you can get a day off now and then, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great thing.
Yeah. However, my question to you, where did you come from before you came to Las Vegas?
Well, I've been in Las Vegas for about 12 years now, just coming up on 12 years. Before here, I was in Colorado.
Colorado.
Yes.
Well, the reason I'm asking is, I was wondering, when you moved from Colorado to Las Vegas and started looking for vendors to buy things, did you have more of a problem in Las Vegas, or was it actually tougher in Colorado?
I would say Las Vegas, just being the culinary mecca that it is, it was very easy to find product here.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping you'd say, because I agree with you. That's really the way it works. We have so many great restaurants. Well, you know, just to give you an example, folks, if you're not familiar with Las Vegas, we have the largest hotel in Las Vegas has 5,032 rooms. One hotel. Now, they have to fill those rooms every day. That's their job. If you could just imagine doing that, you know, if you're from a small town, you could probably take every hotel and motel room in your county, and it wouldn't come close to the 5,032. And the thing is, the hotel across the street and next door and down the street, they're not that large, but they're doing anywhere from 25 to 5,000 rooms. The reason I'm even mentioning this is to kind of give you a perspective on what it's like to be in a town like Las Vegas. The MGM Grand, which is the hotel I'm talking about with the 5,032 rooms, does over 9,000 meals every day. Now, just think about that. 9,000 meals. That's one hotel. So, if you're in the culinary field and you know what you're doing, and better yet, if you have the passion, that Jason was talking about and I talk about all the time. Come over to Las Vegas. We could use some really good help all the time. We're always looking for help. It's just an automatic thing. We have two currently. We have two culinary schools here, and every student that graduates can take a job within the hotel business here in Las Vegas if they want. I mean, that's just the way it turns out. The demand is very good because the demand for good food is important. And that's why over the last 10 years, Las Vegas has come from being a number two or number three place for food and wine to number one.
Yep.
We beat New York a few years ago.
Yep.
Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more with Jason Talbot and talk a little bit more about the Chardonnay and go to our next wine, which is Petit. Welcome back. I want to finish up with this Michael David Winery's 100% Chardonnay from Lodi. I mentioned earlier that 70% of the wine was barrel fermented, aged in 100% French oak. That's pretty good. I mean, that's expensive. Let me tell you what I mean by that. If you were to call and order a French oak barrel, and a barrel, incidentally, is 55 gallons. That's different. Most people think they're 50, but they're actually 55 gallons in size. They're all burnt, if you will, on the inside, some with light, some with medium, some with dark burn, depending on what the winemaker wants to put the wine in there for a reason to get certain things. And just as an example, one of the things that you get out of a barrel, whether it's light, medium, or heavy burnt, is vanilla. So if you get vanilla in any wine, the vanilla did not come from the grapes. It came from the oak barrel that it was aged in, just to give you an idea. They also have not only 70% barrel fermented, but 30% was fermented in stainless steel tanks. Doesn't see oak at all. Then they blend the two together, you see, to get the flavor that the winemaker is looking for. And this is 50% of the wine goes through malolactic fermentation, which is a secondary fermentation. I want to go into the details on it, but it makes that creamy, buttery taste happen, that malolactic fermentation. So they go through some procedures, not only with different varieties of Chardonnay, but also how they handle it once the juice gets into the winery and out of the grape. Okay, enough of that. Let's go on to number two, wine, which is something that I think is pretty doggone interesting. Michael David Winery, Lodi, California, and he does this. If you look at the label, it's a little bit wild, which is okay. And the name of the grape, or what's in the bottle, is called 2013. That's the year that everything was grown. And it's called Petit Petit. And you think, wait a minute, they made a mistake here, because I never heard of anything say Petit Petit. Well, there's a reason for it. It has two different grapes that have the name Petit. One is simply Petit Syrah, and the other one is Petit Verdot. Aha! Now you know. You're smarter than the average bear. 85% of the juice in the bottle is Petit Syrah, and, of course, the 15% left over is the Petit Verdot. And you place those two together, and you've got yourself something that has a lot of plummy taste, a nice floral aroma to the nose. I think it's a pretty good wine myself. And it's 14.5% alcohol, so it's food friendly, if you will. And guess what? Chef Jason and his staff put together something that you're going to say, no kidding? They have served us an Argentine steak. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's a steak from Argentine. It is also certified Black Angus, which I used to raise in California. I think it's one of the best meats around. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then they have a special rub here at Crave that they do. They call it a sugar rub. And you have to know that, obviously, a good part of it might be sugar, but there's other things mixed with it. And so they actually take the steak and they rub it with this sugar rub. And then they topped it with a little chimichurri, And also a little bit of buttermilk mashed potatoes, which I'm hoping you probably do at home once in a while, along with what's one of the most popular vegetables going right now is cauliflower. So you take cauliflower, you take some mashed potatoes that has buttermilk in it instead of regular milk. Try that sometime. You'd be amazed. Maybe throw a little garlic in there. It won't hurt you either. And there's a whole lot of combinations that I could give you with mashed potatoes rather than just a straight-up mashed potato, including the type of potato that you're going to mash. That's a whole different story. There's probably six different kinds that you could use. Three are very popular. But let's just stay with the one that you're doing right now. That's an okay thing. So this petite has got this beautiful full-bodied flavor that I think is pretty good with the plum and the cherry, black cherry, I should say, flavor on it. It's full-bodied. It has that vanilla. Remember I told you earlier that comes from the oak barrels? A little bit of vanilla in it. Also, it's kind of dry. Now, you know, there's two things. There's sweet wine and there's dry wine. There's no such thing as a sweet dry wine or a dry sweet wine. It just doesn't exist. You can't have both. It's one or the other. That's the spectrum. On one end is sweet, on the other end is dry. And when you swallow this petite, it is dry. It's not a negative thing. It's a good thing. It kind of gives you that what we call a long lingering finish. But then when it goes away, it's gone. You don't have any residue, if you will. So it's very, very good. So petite sounds crazy, but tastes pretty good. Have you had a chance to taste it, Jason?
Oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite wines.
Oh, it's one of your favorite. Okay. Well, that tells you everything right there. Well, this petite now was aged in oak for 12 months. Now, let me just mention, and we don't know what the details are behind the scenes, so to speak, but many times a winemaker will start out with a brand new barrel, oak barrel, to put the wine in, and they'll keep it for a month or two. Then they take it out of that barrel and put it into a barrel that's been used a couple times. It's not so potent, if you will. It doesn't bring or draw a lot of the extra flavor. So you don't want to over-flavor it with the vanilla. So that's what they do. And they might move it two or three times during that 12 months into different barrels. But overall, it was 12 months age. Make sense? Got to go to a break, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour at Crave American Restaurant. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here, and Jason Talbot is my guest. He's the executive chef and general manager here at Crave Restaurant in downtown Summerlin. So when you come to Las Vegas, make sure that you take a taxi, or if you have a car, rental car or what have you, drive west to downtown Summerlin, and you'll find Crave. It's a very nice, large restaurant. I don't know what the square footage is, but it's pretty doggone healthy. I wouldn't want to pay the rent, if you know what I'm saying. But on the other hand, the business justifies it, and that's what makes the difference, doesn't it?
It sure does, yes.
Yeah. So we have Crave as the restaurant that is featuring Wines du Jour this evening. And at the same time, we have the Michael David Winery from Lodi is the winery that we're featuring this evening, and three different wines. The first one was a Chardonnay, which we talked quite a bit about. The second one, which we're finishing up now, is the Petite, which I think is pretty cool. And some people asked me during the break, what's the percentage of alcohol in the Petite? 14.5, just like the Chardonnay. That's, to me, that's very, very good. I like the smokiness and the beautiful French oak concept that it's got. It's not too healthy. It's not too unhealthy. It's just about right, if you know what I mean. So that's good. Now, coming up here in just a couple moments is we're going to come out with wine number three, which is, of course, still the Michael David Winery. And this has got a unique name to it. It's called Freak Show Cabernet Sauvignon. Freak Show. Well, that just that just means that Michael David Winery has got their head on straight, and they've got a little bit of humor. So Freak Show is kind of an unusual name to put in front of a Cabernet Sauvignon, But you know that Lodi has the beautiful, almost perfect weather to grow Cabernet Sauvignon grapes, which means that the juice, as long as the winemaker doesn't mess around with it too much, is going to be an absolutely good bottle of wine. You agree with that?
I do. Michael Dave is one of my favorites. As
yeah, you've got, all, actually, it turns out, all three of these wines this evening are actually on your wine list.
Yes,
am I correct?
That's correct. We do carry them on the wine list.
That's great. Tell me a little bit about your Wine by the Glass program that you have here. You have a lot of wines, a few wines. How does that work for you?
We've got a decent amount of wines, but we are actually getting ready to go through a change here in the middle of the month where we're going to be adding some more and some other Michael David wines, too.
Oh, well, that's
expanding
great.
Expanding our Wine by the Glass program.
That's good. This Cabernet Sauvignon was in oak now for 14 months. That's pretty healthy. I talked about the Petit being 12 months. This is actually 14 months. And it gives you kind of a, I guess we could call it a dense consistency to it. When you swirl your wine, and I'm sure that you have developed the habit to swirl your wine each and every time you pour one, whether you're at home or whether you're at a bar or whether you're having dinner, you want to swirl your wine for about 10 seconds. And that sounds a little bit crazy to some people, but there's a reason for doing it. It's not to be snobbish in any way, shape, or form. But by swirling it for about 10 seconds and then putting your nose right down in the glass and take a whiff, you're going to find that you're going to smell things that you had no idea was in that wine. And if you listen to somebody like myself or listen to a sommelier, whether he's a master or not, you're going to find they're going to come up with things that you never even thought of that was in this wine. And that doesn't mean that the winery added those things to the grape juice. It's just that the grape has a natural affinity to things like that. One of them might be, in this particular case for the Cabernet Sauvignon, is licorice. This has a great licorice aroma and taste to it that I think is pretty nice. It also is kind of the consistency is kind of silky. So I call it a silky Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, what do you have with Cabernet Sauvignon? Well, Jason and his chef have decided to come up with something completely unique. Now, all you Italians, pay attention. We're going to have to go with the pairing on this Cabernet Sauvignon, the Freak Show Cabernet Sauvignon. And incidentally, it's a 2013, so it's got 3 years in oak and so on and so forth. And what they're pairing it with is a mini tiramisu. Now, tiramisu is one of the most popular American Italian desserts. It's not as popular in Italy as it is in America. But, boy, the Americans go crazy over tiramisu, don't they?
They sure do, yes.
Yeah, they love it. And what the chef has done here is he takes some mascarpone, or mascarpone, if you will, depends on if you're Italian or not, along with a little fluffy white cake. And with that, he soaked the cake in some espresso, which gives it a beautiful taste and a little bit of aroma, along with a little bit of Kahlua. So Kahlua and espresso and the cake, topped with a little cocoa powder on top of the tiramisu, and you've got yourself a damn good item that's going to go very well with this Freak Show Cabernet Sauvignon. How bad can that possibly be? I don't think it can be too bad. Now, I mentioned that this Freak Show Cab is a little bit dense, but it also has a touch of Petite Sirah in it. It's not 100% Cabernet, but almost. Just a touch of Petite Sirah. And that sounds a little bit crazy to some people. In fact, there are some people in this world that will not drink a wine that is not 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. They won't even touch a Merlot or a Syrah or any of the others at all. They're sold on Cabernet Sauvignon, and that's the way it's going to be no matter what. Well, shame on you. You're missing out on an awful lot. Here, a little Petite Syrah adds to the flavor. Listen, folks, we've got to go to a break again. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this beautiful Michael David Freak Show Cabernet 2013 and continue our talk with Jason Talbot. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. Thank you. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We are having a great time here at Crave. What a great name for a restaurant. You know, Crave has got to be something that most people say, you know what, I crave whatever it might be, a chocolate cake or whatever. Crave generally is associated with dessert and maybe even more so specifically chocolate. But there's a lot of craves. You know, you can crave a steak or you can crave lemonade for that matter. So that this depends on how it works for you. Here, Jason Talbot, I want him to tell you a little bit more about this great restaurant that he's been able to put together and make work very successfully, not only the menu but also the wine list. And he mentioned earlier that he's going to be upgrading his wine list a little bit in a week or two. So that's good. If you're coming to Las Vegas and you haven't been here before, take a taxi from wherever you are, whatever hotel you're staying in or what have you, to downtown Summerlin. Crave is, it's easy to find. It's a big restaurant. Everybody knows about it because the food is good. The reputation is excellent, and you can't beat that. But tell us a little bit about, Jason, if you would, tell us a little bit about what happens here if you're a customer.
Well, I mean, what's unique about us is that I try to explain it as two restaurants in one, and our full name is Crave American Kitchen and Sushi Bar. And we have a full sushi bar where I have a head sushi chef, where we have upwards of 35 to 40 items just from sushi alone. And then we've got the American Kitchen side, which we have upwards of 70 choices. So everything from steaks to seafood. And like Les mentioned, all we use is certified Angus beef. So high quality food, 100% scratch kitchen all the way across the board, which you find it harder and harder these days, especially with restaurants where you have multiple locations where they're not making everything from scratch anymore. And we do. We make everything from scratch. We bring in our food every day. And we just have something to offer everyone. Like you said, Crave is fitting because we have a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You know, when you first walk in the door, it doesn't just jump at you like the, you know, the bar in a lot of restaurants. It's just right there. You got to walk around the bar to get to the restaurant. Here, they got the bar off to the side, but it's convenient, and it's nice, and it's sure used a lot by customers, not only locals, but also the tourists that come to Crave. But then they have the entire restaurant. Or you can walk off to the side, and if you want to, you know, if you're from New York, that's what I like to say, if you're from New York and you have to see everything before you order it, you can walk over and look at your sushi bar, and you'll say, oh, I want one of those, I want one of those, I want one of those. And you can either order it or you can stand there and they'll prepare it for you. It's unbelievable. And the good thing is the refrigeration here is outstanding. And what that means is the fish and seafood is first class when they get it, and it stays that way until you are a customer that's going to be able to consume it. So grade A tuna, as an example, is definitely every day at this particular sushi bar. Not every sushi bar does that. That's why I don't understand. I don't know. You probably don't want to make a comment about it. I wouldn't blame you. But so many places have, like, all you can eat for $29 or whatever. I don't understand that. To me, that's just kind of crazy. And that tells me that maybe they've cut back on something. We just don't know what the heck it might be, if you know what I mean. How much time do we have, Carl? Okay, great. I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour Food and Wine Program, coming to you on this show here from Crave American Restaurant here in Las Vegas, and Michael David Winery from Lodi, California, which is a great place for wines, folks. Search that out. We're America's number one syndicated food and wine show. We broadcast each week from the same time at the same station. And if you're listening to us, you can go to, if you want to listen to us 24/7, you can go to leskincaid.com and listen. If you've enjoyed tonight's program, tell everybody you know. I want to thank the time for the Crave American Restaurant, Adam Mettler, who was the man at Michael David Winery. And I want to thank my radio broadcast engineer, Carl Magno, and his help for David Knight. That was good. Thanks for choosing and listening to Wines du Jour from the Left Coast, from the East Coast, and from all around the world on the Internet. From Las Vegas, Nevada, I'm Les Kincaid.